Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch ermutigen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es im Rahmen eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland.
Wie beim letzten Mal angekündigt, dreht sich die aktuelle Folge um Singapur, denn unser Gast war Shelley Wang von der James Cook University Singapore. Für dich, Alex, war es ja ein Heimspiel, denn du kennst ja nicht nur Shelley ziemlich gut, du warst ja auch schon selbst in Singapur.
Genau, und ich glaube, du hast ein neues Reiseziel für dich entdeckt, oder?
Ja, auf jeden Fall. Ich muss gestehen, dass ich Singapur als Reiseziel vorher nicht so direkt auf dem Zettel hatte, aber nach der Recherche und dem Gespräch mit Shelley sieht es jetzt auf jeden Fall anders aus.
Das kann ich gut verstehen. Ich finde Singapur auch immer wieder total faszinierend. Und ich muss auch ganz ehrlich sagen, bei dem aktuellen Wetter, das wir hier haben, hätte ich auch nichts gegen ein paar tropische Temperaturen. Aber Spaß beiseite, wir haben mit Shelley natürlich nicht nur über Singapur als Reiseziel, sondern vor allem auch über die James Cook University und über Singapur als Ort für ein Auslandssemester gesprochen. Also bleibt einfach dran und vielleicht geht's euch ja wie Elias und mir und ihr möchtet auch am liebsten direkt die Koffer packen.
Hi Shelley, welcome to our podcast.
Hi Elias, thank you for having me today.
We are very happy that you're joining us today, and I personally am really excited about today's episode because I have never been to Singapore, unlike Alex, who has traveled there, I believe, multiple times, right?
Yeah, I've actually been to Singapore, I think, 5 or 6 times by now.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to learning more about the city of Singapore and the university, of course. Let's get right into it. To start off, Singapore is often referred to as the quote-unquote gateway to Asia. I was wondering, what does that exactly mean, Shelley?
Well, if we take a look at Singapore on the map, you will realize that we are almost sitting on the equator. So that really gives us great access to, Asia Pacific region. Nonetheless, very, very accessible to neighboring Southeast Asian countries. So for anyone who's never been to Asia before, Singapore is usually a great place for transit or for, just arrival. So that's how it's like, the gateway to Asia.
Singapore is not only known as the gateway to Asia, but it's also known for its really vibrant cultural mix. There are a lot of people of Chinese descent, there are Malayans, there are Indians, there are Europeans, and of course, people with other Asian backgrounds. How does that reflect in everyday life, and how does it affect international students studying in Singapore?
It's a great question, Alex. Actually, I personally think, Singapore is somehow like the Switzerland in Europe, because we have so many different ethnic groups coming together living in one place that we call home. We always consider ourselves as one people, and of course, as you mentioned, there are 4 main ethnic groups in Singapore. So they're namely Chinese, Malay, Indians, and Eurasians. So Eurasians is a very special group of people. They are usually a mix of Europeans and Asians. So I usually think, it's a great place for international students to explore Singapore as their first stop in Asia, because it's definitely a soft landing in terms of culture shock. So for any student or for anyone from Europe who's never been to Asia before, Singapore would be a safe choice for a soft landing.
So you know that when I visited Singapore in the past, we'd usually spend quite a bit of time together. You'd show me around, and you'd also show me to various food places, because everybody who knows me knows I'm a bit foodie. Of a foodie, and I think
so am I. Yeah.
You are as well. So you would definitely love Singapore, because I think food culture is one thing that is really unique about Singapore because of the different cultures living there in such a small area. You find food from every kind of part of the world. You find great Indian food. You find great Chinese food, but not only Chinese in general, but from different parts of China. And there's so many different types of Chinese food depending on the region in China. You find really great Middle Eastern food. You find great even French food. So I think there's a good mix also of really high-end restaurants where you can go for like a special occasion, but also really good, but also really inexpensive food at the local hawker centers that you find everywhere.
Yeah.
Hawker centers? What are those?
Yeah.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, this might be a very, very foreign concept to Elias, who's never been to Singapore. Well,
but he'd love them. He'd love them.
Well, I think when you are in Singapore, I'll definitely take you to one of those hawker centers that's close to our campus. So you can find hawker centers in residential hubs. They are usually a food market where you find than 25 or 30 food stores selling all kinds of different food together as a market. And you have a wet market to go with the food market. So it's like a grocery market as well as a food market together. And for every meal that you have at the hawker centers, you typically spend about 2 to 3 euros max for a very decent meal. And with every store, you basically can choose, you know, from different varieties of food. And some of the food courts, or I would say hawker centers, stores actually receive Michelin stars. Of them are Michelin star, you know, one star, or there is a Michelin a guide to Singapore street food. So when you are there, we'll follow the books and we'll go to
some
of them.
Yeah.
So and go ahead.
So you can buy groceries, but at the same time, you can also get like takeout food, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's really cool because especially if there are types of Asian food that you haven't tried or dishes you haven't tried, and you're out with friends, it's really nice because if you like Indian and I like Thai and maybe Shelley's out with us and likes Chinese, then we can all get food from different places, but we can sit together at the same table. We can share plates. We can really just try out different food. And I think it's really nice. It's a little like a food court at a mall, but it's really like a typical part of a Singaporean's day, right? To go to a hawker center at the end of their day to have dinner or to meet with friends or even go there in the morning to have a coffee and a toast or something else for breakfast. So it's a really typical thing to do.
Yeah, I'm hooked. It sounds great.
Awesome. Yes, so next time when you're here, we make sure that we hang out with the students. I'm sure that the students actually know a lot of great places to go. I have seen some great videos and pictures of students posting them hawker center hopping. So trying to, you know, check off all the list that they had before. So it's really, really an interesting thing to do in Singapore.
Yeah. And I think one thing that can sometimes be a little scary if you're in a country where you don't know the language, for example, is ordering food because you don't know exactly what you're going to get. And I think that is something that rarely happens in Singapore because English is the official language, which I think is another definite bonus for students coming to Singapore because they will find their way around. They can read street signs. They can communicate with everybody on the street. So it's easy for them to really kind of integrate and find their way. But Singapore doesn't only have standard English, but it also has its own local variety of English called Singlish. How does that differ from, let's say, British or American English?
Well, I think English as a lingua franca exists in many different ways in different places. And in Singapore, we do have our local variety of it as Singlish. But, you know, you still hear very authentic English, or I would say, you know, in formal occasions. But for example, when you go to the hawker centers, you will hear a lot of Singlish going on. I'm sure you will get the hang of it after maybe a month or so, or even pick up some of the Singlish phrases. So basically, Singlish is derived from a few different Chinese dialects together with Malay words in a very Chinese type of grammar. So you will hear words you understand, perhaps some words you don't understand, but somehow when they mix together in a sentence, you can still figure out what it means. It's very strange but interesting thing. I think many of our students started pick up some phrases just for fun. but again, you know, in classes or formal occasions, people speak formal English in here.
Mm. But I think it happens really quickly that you pick up a couple of phrases, or you pick up even just the kind of the melody of Singlish, which I find is slightly different to British or American English. So I think the more time you spend in Singapore, the more you kind of get the hang of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think I've already gotten a good sense of Singapore just within the first few minutes. But another topic, of course, is the weather. On our last podcast episode with Anna from UW Madison, which is one of our partner universities located in the Midwest in the United States, Anna mentioned that it is such a common topic to talk about the weather because it changes so much over there. What is it like in Singapore? Does the weather change a lot, or what is it generally like?
Well, many people actually don't realize this. Yeah. Well, because Alex loves the weathering here, I know that. So Singapore actually has a tropical rainforest climate. So that means we are summer all year round. It's always about 25 to 32 Celsius throughout the year. And people ask me, so how's the weather like? I'm like, don't worry about it. Just bring an umbrella. It's just going to be rain or no rain, but it's always warm. And you can always count on going to the beach for a good weekend when it's not raining. Yeah. But of course, there is air condition wherever you go indoors in Singapore. So it's also a good idea to bring a cardigan with you, just to go with the air condition. Sometimes can be too strong for you.
I just want to say something about the rain, because the rain really is something in Singapore. When it rains, it pours. It's enormous. It's like the floodgates open. And it just, I don't know, it's just so much water at the same time. But then within an hour or so, the weather completely changes. The sun comes out, and it's hot and humid again. Yeah. So I think if you have plans for the afternoon and you look outside and it's like, oh, it's going to rain, you should still go, because it can really just be like a 30-minute downpour, and then it starts being sunny again. So I think that's very different to rainy days in Germany. So when you wake up in the morning and it looks rainy, that's probably the way it's going to stay for the rest of the day.
No. Okay.
So, and in Singapore, it rains for a very short period of time, and then it's kind of glorious again. So bring an umbrella is definitely a good idea. But also, as you say, bring a cardigan or a shawl for air conditioned buildings and rooms. But yeah, I love the weather in Singapore. It's one of the easiest places for me to visit, because I'm a terrible packer. So I never know what to bring. I always bring too many different things. But for Singapore, it's so easy, because I know I will only need like my summer clothes. So
and sunscreen.
And sunscreen. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So as great as Singapore is, many of our students would of course also like to explore other parts of Asia during or after their semester at JCU Singapore. How easy is it to do so, given that you have the Changi Airport, which I know is one of the largest and coolest, actually, airports, not only in Asia, but probably worldwide? And what destinations would you recommend?
Well, absolutely right. I just want to start off with Changi Airport, because it is one of the well, it is the best airport in the world for 8 years running. So for anyone who's just even transiting in Singapore, you should consider, you know, spending a few more hours in there just to relax, recharge, and explore in Changi. It's a miniature Singapore that we have brought to you just in the airport. Yeah, and from Changi Airport, there are just too many places that you can fly to easily. You can fly to Bangkok, Thailand within 2 hours, Koh Samui, Krabi, Phuket, all these places in Thailand, or you can easily fly to Ho Chi Minh City or Hanoi in Vietnam. You can discover Siem Reap, where the Angkor Wat is in Cambodia. There are many places for you to go. Of course, the nice islands in Indonesia. But if you're tired of flying, you know, you can just take a bus or take the train to go to Johor Bahru in Malaysia. And it would cost you like about $5 or below just to go over there for the weekend. And everything can be so much cheaper. I mean, you know, the massages, you know, the street food and the shopping. And of course, if you are more adventurous, you can take the ferry to go to many nearby islands in Indonesia. So you can consider Batam or Bintan. You can take the bus, change to the ferry to go to Tioman Island. And there are many, many nice places for you to go in the Philippines to discover the white beach islands. Yeah, so the list is just an infinite list. I can't count how many destinations that you can get from Singapore. But what you can always count on is that there's always an ongoing promotion of airline tickets. And there are many budget airlines for you to choose from. Even, you know, going a bit further to Australia or to China, to parts of China or India. Yeah, these are all within 4 hours of flight.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, that does sound like a great gateway to other places.
Why haven't you been to Singapore yet?
I don't know yet. I should definitely
next
go.
Yeah.
I've definitely missed out so far. But yeah, let's talk a little bit more about Singapore then. Because what struck me during my research for this podcast was also that Singapore has a couple of nicknames. And one of them was the Lion City. Where does that name come from?
Well, Lion City actually refers to Singapura in the ancient language of Sanskrit. So the story behind Singapura or Lion City is that there's a prince, Sang Nila Utama. So he's a prince from Sumatra. So once upon a time, he came to the modern day Singapore and he saw a creature, a mysterious creature with a lion head and a mermaid tail. So that's why he named this piece of land a Lion City, because that was the first thing he saw. So when he thought about Lion City, he just called us Singapura, because Singa means lion and Pura means a city. So that's how the city is called Lion City, and how we have used Singapura as a name, a former name for this place.
Speaking of nicknames, Singapore is not only called the Lion City, but it's also one of the four tiger states in Asia, which refers to its rapid economic growth over the past decades. More generally speaking, I think the 21st century is often referred to as the Asian century, meaning that Asia is likely to play an increasingly important role on the world stage, especially with regards to the global economy, of course, but also to future trends in business, IT, and architecture. Based on your own experience living in Singapore, Shelley, how future-oriented and innovative is Singapore really?
Thank you for this question, Alex. I think Singapore as a city or as a nation, you know, it really started very humbly. Not many people may know that many years ago, Singapore was just a fishing village. So after 50 plus years of transformation, now it's one of the most open economies in the world. And also it's one of the four tigers, as you put it, in the 90s. And now a very, very smart city and also an innovation hub in Asia. So I think that's all because that we had a forward-looking mindset. So we always plan for the future way ahead. So the latest development is for us to build a forest town, an eco town in Singapore. Basically, how it's like will be that you'll have cars going underground. So cars will move around and at the underground level, and at the surface level of the ground, you will have, you know, people to for cyclists, for pedestrians, for wildlife. Even there will be a green corridor just for the wildlife to pass through the area as well. So it will be a forest-like surface, and you know, all the automobiles and vehicles will be just underground to have that kind of separation. And I think that is the kind of futuristic projects that Singapore is looking at building. Mm-hmm. And many years ago, as we started, we didn't even have any natural resources. We didn't have drinking water, and that forced us to develop our own new water. So we recycle water from used water. Basically, we turn used water into drinking water again. Mm-hmm. And that's just amazing.
Because mm-hmm. I think what a lot of people might not know is how small Singapore really is, right? So it really is a city state. And you cannot really expand to the size, but you have to basically build up, or you have to reclaim land from the sea. So I think you're basically forced to be innovative in the way that you kind of maximize what you can do on that little stretch of land. So you have to be kind of smart about it.
Yeah, very smart about it. Yeah.
I mean, the word smart has come up a couple of times now, and I guess that it is very fitting that I found one statistic supporting that. So I'm referring to the IMD Smart Index, which ranks Singapore as the smartest city in the world. Could you elaborate a little on what this means and perhaps name a few examples why Singapore is considered such a smart city?
Thank you, Elias, for the question. I really like this question because, you know, many people may have read news or updates about Singapore being the smartest city in the world, and what does it really mean for us? From the newspapers or from the web pages, you may read, you know, we've got driverless cars being tested, we've got volocopters, you know, being planned to be rolled out in Singapore, and you know, we use fintech almost every day, and we host fintech conference every year in Singapore. So I think it's a great question to ask, you know, what does it mean to us, you know, normal people living our everyday life? Mm-hmm. I just think that it's the Smart Nation initiative has provided so much convenience for the people. For example, we are talking about going digital as a nation. We have many apps installed in our phones, and there is one from the government as well, and we can use that app to access almost all government services just at one go. Yeah, so that's the kind of convenience that I really appreciate. Also, we are talking about digital healthcare. So as you know, Singapore is also a very, very much an aging society. And how we provide adequate care for the elderly is that we also go digital. We have teleconsultation sessions, we have tele follow-up with the elderly. So instead of going down or asking the elderly to visit the clinics, even the nearest clinics close to them, it might be a very, very difficult journey for them to get to the clinics. Instead of going for that, we have tele consultation mm-hmm. that provides mm-hmm. convenience. And during this time of COVID-19, this actually is working, you know, and has provided so much convenience for almost everyone.
And I think a lot of innovation is, of course, also happening at universities, because universities and the research done there often plays a very important role in innovation in a society. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk a little bit about JCU Singapore, so your institution where you work. Just maybe to give our audience a little bit of context, James Cook University, or JCU as it's abbreviated, is originally an Australian university with campuses in Townsville and Cairns in northern Queensland.
Right.
But now also a campus in Singapore. So how come JCU decided to open a campus in Singapore in, I think, 2003 it was?
Right. That's right. Well, I think it's because the university has a great vision. Yeah. So being a regional university, or being a regional Australian university located in North Queensland, we have a huge ambition, actually. You know, our strategic statement goes, creating a brighter future for life in the tropics worldwide through discoveries and graduates that make a difference. So we're really looking at improving the lives of people who live in the tropics and also worldwide. And what's better way, you know, of doing that than bringing innovation, bringing education, bringing technology to Singapore, you know, to a capital city located in the tropics. So we have moved from a regional place in Australia to hopefully to a more global, more international stage. And that's how I think we picked Singapore. And when we moved to Singapore, of course, we have carefully chosen the programs that best meet students' aspirations in the region, in this Asia-Pacific region. And there you can see now we have programs in business, in finance, economics, technology, data science, psychology, information technology, and so on. Yeah, so we have grown so much after 18 years of being in Singapore.
Yeah, that to me sounds really, really interesting that one university has campuses in different countries. And also, I was surprised to hear that Singapore is considered to be the tropics. That I didn't know before, but yeah.
Yeah, you don't really think of major capital cities as being tropical, right?
Yeah.
You think of beaches and lush rainforests.
Right, yeah.
We have
like
those
that.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a very green city, that's true. So in what way would you think that German students coming to JCU Singapore for a study abroad semester, for example, would benefit from studying at an Australian university but physically being in Asia?
Well, I guess the easy answer is that you get the best of the both worlds. Being an Australian university, we run Australian curriculum, and I think students find it very, very familiar to study the Western curriculum, whilst being in Singapore, which is the soft landing point for them to arrive in Asia, discovering the many different cultures of Asia, and, you know, while they can travel all around Asia or Southeast Asia, they can still maintain this good and actually excellent level of living standard. So I think that's a plus point to study at JCU Singapore.
So you've just mentioned a couple of study areas that are offered at JCU Singapore. And we also wanted to talk to you a little bit about the study abroad program. So if students or if international students come to JCU Singapore, are they eligible for all study areas, or are they restricted to certain ones?
Generally speaking, students can choose all subjects on offer as long as they meet the prerequisite of the subjects they're going to apply for. So, yep, the short answer is yes, they can choose anything they'd like to study. We generally encourage students to choose something that they don't typically get to study back home in Germany, for example. And some of the very, very interesting subjects or study areas in Singapore may include data science, Internet of Things, cybersecurity, or anything that's more cultural related, for Asian studies or even business with an focus on Asia.
So I know a lot of the students that we work with are business students, and JCU Singapore is really quite popular with business students as well, which is not surprising because Singapore is a real business and logistics hub. How connected are the professors and teachers at JCU Singapore to the Singaporean business world?
It's a great question, Alex. Thanks for that. We actually have a capstone subject in every business program that we run. And for this capstone subject, students have a choice to do a group project. We actually call it a multidisciplinary project, where students from different disciplines get together and work on a project, you know, a real world project. And usually those projects are given by companies in Singapore, or students can choose to do a term of internship for that subject. So as you can see, you know, for every business student who needs to complete that subject, they have to work on a real world problem. And for us to develop that problem, we work very, very closely with some of our industry partners in Singapore. And this brings me to mention that, you know, Singapore is a real business hub of Asia. There are about 37,000 international companies alone in Singapore, 7,000 multinational companies. And out of the 7,000 multinational companies, around 4,000 regional headquarters of those companies. And I did count, there are about 1,700. So 1,700 German companies who have established a presence in Singapore. So
wow.
They are just, you know, tons of opportunities or business opportunities in Singapore for business students. And we do offer opportunities for students to connect with the companies. You know, we have a careers department that helps students in multiple ways. We talk about internships, we talk about company visits, we talk about hosting workshops to teach students how to go for interviews, how to look for jobs in Singapore, how to network in general. So as long as you are in here, I think this is the new land of opportunities.
So I also read that you're running a unique campaign for international study abroad students with a really interesting sounding name, the Better Together campaign. Can you talk a little bit about that and explain what that is?
Yes. So what we realized is that students, particularly study abroad students, you know, they love to discover new places. They love to meet new people, but sometimes they just need a bit of nudging. So we thought, okay, so we are going to help, you know, friends to go together. So we developed this Better Together campaign to encourage students to grab a friend to, you know, go and explore the world together, in particularly in Singapore. So basically, this campaign allows students to make a flight reimbursement of 1,000 Singapore dollars once they commence their studies in JCU Singapore together.
That sounds like a good deal. Bring a friend and you'll get a reimbursement for your
flight. Double the fun.
Yeah, which means you'll have more money to spend while exploring Singapore, which then leads me to my next question. Imagine a student or imagine two friends who've just arrived to Singapore and who still have a few days to explore the city before the start of their studies at JCU. Where should they go to get a first idea of what Singapore is like?
Well,
what's a good place to start on their first day or first evening?
Ooh, I have like multiple places popped out in my mind already. But I'm just trying to think as a international student, you know, arriving in Singapore for the first time. I think after watching so many videos online or checking out so many blogs or Instagram accounts, I think any student would be very excited to do rooftop bar hopping, I would call it. Yeah, because not just to drink, you know, it's really to see the breathtaking views of Singapore from the top. And, you know, having such a great climate in Singapore when it's always warm in the evening, you can really check out, you know, the beautiful night view of Singapore when, you know, the downtown is all lit up at night with the warm breeze. Yeah, it's just incredible. And not to mention, there are just too many choices for you to be at. Yeah, just countless rooftop bars in here.
I kind of feel another place that you could go maybe before ending up at a rooftop bar is just going down to the Singapore River to see the Merlion and to see the light show down there and Marina Bay Sands in the background. I think that's what I do almost every time I go to Singapore on my first evening, is just go down there, sit there, people watch the light show, and just kind of take it all in.
Exactly.
Because I think there is something magical about Singapore at night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would think Singapore is totally a different personality when, you know, when the night falls. It transits to this very, a very relaxed and very vibrant place. Whereas, you know, in the daytime, it could be a lot, you know, busier and a lot formal, a lot more business-like. Right. And I totally agree with you, Alex. I think the view of Marina Bay Sands, it's just a million-dollar view. I think, you know, anyone could, I just cannot imagine anyone ever getting tired of that view. The best part is that you can actually go there for free. And we also have many cycling tracks in Singapore where people do night cycling in that area, in the entire area, or they would just go for a run in the area. I think that's great, you know, sporting opportunities too.
And what would a perfect weekend look like in Singapore?
Well, it's such a hard question because usually, you know, there's just too many things going on. As you know, Singapore is such a multi-racial society. We have cultural celebrations all year round. For example, the month of May, you know, we already have two major festivals going on. So we've got Ramadan going on. We've got Visak Day later in the month as well. So all of these are interesting things for students to do over the weekend, to join a festive celebration or to just simply visit the many museums that we have in Singapore. Aside from the cultural discoveries, we've got so many international exhibitions or events going on as well. One of the most famous ones could be the Formula One Grand Prix that happens every September. So I think that's still one of the only, or perhaps that's the only one still in the world that we host this night race. It's just incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, you know, one of my personal favorite things to do is to spend the weekend in Sentosa Island, just to, you know, recharge myself and have a relaxed afternoon by the beach, or, you know, just to avoid the crowd, go to one of the best aquarium in Southeast Asia. That's all very relaxing for me.
Just to explain, Sentosa is a very small island that is right in front of Singapore, right?
Yeah, you literally walk to the Sentosa Island. There is now a walkway that you can just walk from one of the metro stations in Singapore. From there, you can just walk into Sentosa Island. And once you are in Sentosa, it's just an island of fun for you to discover.
Right. And it's got really nice beaches too.
Oh, yes.
For people loving the beach lifestyle, there's a couple of beach clubs as well. And a really nice place to spend a Saturday or Sunday. So Shelley, you probably know that our podcast is called Beste Zeit, or Time of Your Life in English. What are things that our students absolutely should experience in order to have the time of their lives in Singapore?
Okay. So I would think, you know, the one thing that everybody must do is to make a friend that is from a different country that they come from. In Singapore, I would think that there's so many opportunities for you to discover the place. But, you know, when you are a student, when you are probably at the most curious age of your life, you know, making a friend would give you the best experience because it's something that you can take home. You can keep contact with this friend for life. And on our campus, you know, our students are mostly international students. And there's so many opportunities for you to create this lifelong network.
That's a great answer. Thank you so much.
All right, Shelley, I think we both learned a lot, even though Alex knew much more than I did beforehand, as we talked about that in the beginning. But it was really great talking to you. As you may know, with all our guests, we like to do a short, quick question round. So how it works is we're going to ask you a couple of questions that are a little bit on the lighter side, and they can be answered spontaneously, as they are really quick little fun questions.
Okay, and
if you're up for it, we would of course like to do it with you as well.
Sure, I'm ready for that.
All right, let's get into it. What's the best place to get lunch at or around the JCU Singapore campus?
Okay, the hawker center, Sims Vista Hawker Center. That's very, very close to the campus. It's within 7-minute walk, and I always have different kind of food for lunch in that hawker center.
Is that the one where we went for the Thai food?
The
hawker center on the way to the MRT station.
Yes. You have great memory.
Yeah. That one's great. Definitely.
That one's great. Yeah. Yes.
So you can also recommend it.
Yes. Recommend that too. Yeah.
Nice. Great. Yeah. All right. You talked a little bit about rooftop bars. What is your favorite rooftop bar in Singapore?
Well, that's going to be busted, my secret place. Well, no, I really don't have a favorite. I have a few favorites, I have to say. Okay, so one of my more chillaxed place to go is Lantern. It's on top of the Fullerton Bay Hotel. It's very chic and very relaxed. Yeah, and you get a great view of Marina Bay Sands area. And it's less fancy, I would say, because the views that you get on top of the Marina Bay Sands itself, or the views that you get from one altitude, is very city-like, whereas in Lantern, you just feel like, you know, you're probably in a resort, but you're having a great city view in front of you.
We also talked a little bit about Sentosa. What is your favorite thing to do in Sentosa, Shelley?
One of my favorite things to do in Sentosa is definitely spending time at the beach club. As Alex mentioned, there are a couple of beach clubs in Sentosa. And my favorite thing to do there is just to relax, you know, grab a drink and spend the rest of the afternoon there.
Okay, so the next question touches on something we've talked about in the beginning about Singlish. So my question is, what is a typical Singlish term or phrase that our students should know?
Well, okay. So I think I'll give two for you, right? One is a bonus. The first one is really easy. It's okay la. Yeah, so
okay la.
Yeah, it's very easy. So when you want to say okay, you can say okay la. Mm-hmm. Just add a la to
you just add the la.
Yeah. Mm. Very simple. Okay la. So people will probably look at you with a huge surprise on their face because they would not expect that from you. The other one is it's more of a cultural thing in Asia in general, especially in the Chinese community, that is people would come to you and ask you, have you eaten, as a greeting line. It's very strange. So instead of saying, how are you, or, you know, how's it going, people would say, have you eaten? That's a genuine question, because they wanted to care for you. They wanted to know if you have, you know, had your meals. So if you start with that, I think people will be pretty much impressed.
Okay la. I think we have come to the end of this episode. And even though, as you mentioned, Elias, I've been to Singapore a couple of times and can't wait to visit again, as I think you can tell from all my raving about the nice things you can do and experience there, I've also learned a couple of new things, especially in regard to the smart city movement and some of the futuristic projects happening in Singapore at the moment. So, Shelley, thank you once again for taking the time to speak with us today. I know it's getting a bit late over where you are. I really hope that we can meet in person again very soon, either in Singapore or, of course, here in Frankfurt. So have a great evening and talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, College Contact, for having me here today. I hope you guys stay safe and stay positive. Don't forget, it's always better together. Take care.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Shelley.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Das hat jetzt richtig Spaß gemacht.
Ja, auf jeden Fall. Singapur ist jetzt echt tatsächlich auf meiner Bucketlist gelandet.
Und das liegt vor allem daran, dass man da so lecker essen kann? Oder was reizt dich besonders?
Unter anderem. Aber ich glaube, Singapur als Metropole finde ich jetzt einfach nur super spannend. Also super futuristisch ausgerichtet. Die ganzen Green Initiatives, die haben mich sehr angesprochen. Und ja, ich würde es gerne mal selbst erleben.
Sehr schön. Wenn es euch genauso geht und ihr auch Lust auf Singapur bekommen habt, dann schaut einfach mal in unsere Shownotes. Da findet ihr mehr Informationen zur James Cook University. Ihr findet ein Interview mit Ibrahim, der über uns ein Auslandssemester an der JCU verbracht hat, und Links zu weiteren Erfahrungsberichten.
Dort findet ihr auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Wenn ihr euch nun also für ein Auslandssemester an der JCU Singapur interessiert oder für ein Auslandsstudium ganz allgemein, dann könnt ihr mit uns gerne Kontakt aufnehmen. Wir werden von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unseren Service bezahlt. Das heißt, unsere Bewerbungshilfe und unsere Beratung ist für euch komplett kostenlos.
Also, wir hoffen, ihr hattet genauso viel Spaß an dem Interview mit Shelley wie wir und freut euch schon auf die nächste Folge. Am besten abonniert ihr uns direkt, um gleich beim Erscheinen der nächsten Folge informiert zu werden und nichts zu verpassen. Bis dahin sagen wir viele Grüße und habt eine gute Zeit!